Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
I better do what Ben asked me to do, and that's bring a study. He even told me what to lead you on. I don't know whether he has a problem with greed, the reason he didn't want to come and approach it, or why he just asked me to. Maybe he thought I knew that I'm pure from this. I don't have any problems with it. I got this whipped, okay? But it's really a sin that we... we want to dodge if we can. We may not approach it as serious as we ought to. A lot of scripture that we find in the Word that has to deal with greed. And Ecclesiastes 5:10-15. I looked at these verses just before I left home this evening between the pizza and the car key. I grabbed the Word and I looked at Ephesians 5:10-15. The wisest man and probably the most wealthy man who ever lived did a lot of writing, and he wrote some words on greed. Probably he struggled with it, even as wealthy as he was, maybe with wanting more, and in his heart was to be pure. But the Word says that he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. It's just pretty plain. That's God's word to us. and the Word says that he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. It's going to take a lot more than silver to satisfy us. If we're a child of the living God, it's going to take an intense relationship with him. He who loves abundance with increase, this also is vanity. And then Solomon went on and wrote in verse 15 that as he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor which he may carry away in his hand. You've heard the old expression that you're not going to see a trailer behind a hearse loaded down with gold going to the cemetery. We're not going to take any of that with us. Breaking the chain of greed. How do we do that? Chain breakers. Breaking the chain of greed. How do we do that? Well, Word tells us in Romans that we're not to covet. It tells us in several places that we're not to covet. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3. Let's go there. Hope you brought your Bible. Colossians 3. I'm not sure that I put that verse or that passage up there for us to... Yep, I did 3:5. But let's read beginning with verse 1. I will. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died to an old life, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is also, who is our life, appears, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Now listen to these words. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire. My translation says covetousness. Maybe yours says greed. You have one that says greed? Many of the translations says greed. So you and I are to put to death greed. You know, I can put greed sometimes on the altar, lay it on the altar, take it before the Father, but it might crawl off. We have to make sure that we keep it dead. But the Word says that we are to put to death greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Well, these things, a list of things that God says that we're to put away. They're not to be a part of our life. A believer is not to have these in their life. Paul wrote to one of his young preacher buddies, one of the young men that he nurtured and mentored, Timothy. He loved Timothy like a son. And he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10. That's probably not up there. Nope. I don't know when we're going to get to more scripture on the screen, but you don't have to see it on the screen. Look at 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10. Paul said, Timothy, I want to tell you so that you can tell others. Those who want to be rich fall into temptation. If your desire is just to be rich, you're going to deal with some temptation. Now, there is not anything wrong with being rich. In fact, you're a wealthy person. How many of you rode in a car or a truck over here tonight? You didn't have to hitchhike. You're a rich person. And if this is an eating in your heart just to be rich, you're going to fall into a lot of temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plague people into ruin and destruction. There's going to be that danger of destruction, being destroyed, if your desire is just to be a wealthy person. This is where that verse says, and we misinterpret this. The Word of God never says that money is the root of all temptation. Paul wrote to Timothy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and said that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And by craving it, you have wandered away from the faith, many have, and pierced themselves with many pains. So if your desire is just to love money and to gain wealth, you're going to struggle a lot in life. Problem is not the money. It's not wealth. I'm convinced. I don't know that. Maybe you grew up. Maybe you had, silver spoons and all of that stuff. But I was born as poor as Job's turkey. And compared to where I was, I'm going to tell you, I am a wealthy person. Miss Brenda helped me get there. She worked hard, saved money. Well, she didn't save that much, but she didn't spend it all either. But really, we are a wealthy people. I remember riding the school bus home when I was in high school, and I saw that they had run electricity in our home. Miss Brenda and I got married, and we rented a house that had a bathroom on the inside. Now, she had one, but I didn't until I got married, rented the house. So I'm just telling you that most of us are living the abundant life. And we don't have to drive many miles to see folks that have a whole lot less than we do. The problem is not the money. The problem that we struggle with sometimes is the heart, the longing for that money. Let me see if I can find a verse that we have on the the screen. Let's deal with greed. Oh, we better hurry. What time we get out of here? 8 or 8:15? Which is it? I can't remember. I'm old. I can't remember. But I discovered this definition of greed, and I know that is on the screen. At least I believe we have it. Greed is the insatiable, uncontrollable desire to have more money or possessions for self-gratification while ignoring God and eternity. Now, I didn't write that myself. I copied it. And honestly, I don't know where it came from. But I do know that that is a good definition of greed. When we have that uncontrollable desire to have more money or possessions just for our self-gratification while we ignore God and eternity. Most of us would say, well, I don't have that inordinate desire for wealth or possessions or for another person's possessions. My desire is not excessive, just a little more, and a little more, and a little more. Who was it, Rockefeller or someone, that was asked how much money is enough? He said, just a little bit more. Well, greed. Word tells us that we're not to covet. There's a great parable in Luke chapter. I'm sorry, in Luke chapter 12. But let me ask a question. How should you and I, as a believer, how should we view greed and wealth? Greed is a very serious sin to be avoided. And wealth is a very serious responsibility to God. Now, boys and girls, we are responsible to God for what He's given us. I have a responsibility to my Heavenly Father for how I use what He's blessed me with. I have a responsibility to God for how we use our home. We have a responsibility to God for how we spend our earnings. We don't wing it by ourselves. If we are a believer, a child of the living God, we have a responsibility as to how we use what He has blessed us with. Money can trap us if we're not careful. I have seen individuals turn their life upside down because of the use of the money that God blesses them with. We're responsible to God for all that we have. There's some TV preachers that will flaunt their wealth and tell everyone that financial prosperity is your divine right. Now, Peter would tell them to shut up. That's not true. He would say that some TV preachers are flaunting their faith and causing a lot of grief for a lot of others. Greed is a serious sin to be avoided. Let me do something else. This will help us. Take a shortcut here, but a couple of you guys help me pass these out, will you? I give you a handout. We don't have it on the screen, but we'll put it in your hand. How's that? How do we deal with, I hope I kept one for me. How do we deal with our greed? How do we handle this? A man by the name of Stephen J. Cole. Gave us these questions. Questions that each of us can answer. Do I view my money and possessions as mine or God's? That's a basic stewardship question. Is it mine or is it God's? Now, the Bible recognizes personal property rights. Commandments against stealing. It really presumes that I own some things and you own others. But all that we have belongs to the Lord. But, I've got a few old... Miss Brenda and I do ragged chairs on the deck that we have at the house. They're mine, or they're ours. You can use them, but you're not to come and get them, right? But yet God owns everything that we have, and He's just given us the privilege of managing. I thought this question was pretty stinging. If I knew that I would die in 1 year, would I do anything different in my management of God's resources? If I knew that I would die in 1 year, would I handle my finances differently? Well, I want to tell you, when you get as old as I am, you just expect to die in a year. So you better be looking carefully at what you do. Would I buy that item? Would I give more to that cause? We sat in a new members class you know, we go through that new members class, and then we make a decision as to whether or not we want to join you. I guess you make the decision as to whether or not you want to let us. But I haven't made up my mind yet. No, I was kidding. But last Sunday, it was on missions. And Ed came and explained to us the heart that Eastwood has for missions. I'll tell you, that was attractive to me. That rang my bell. God gave me the privilege of leading Collierville First Baptist Church to become one of the greatest mission churches in the convention. And about 15 years ago, well, longer than that, God gave me the opportunity to establish a missions organization to take teams into a different country. So missions is our heart. And as a believer, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a member of this church, then I have the responsibility to seek God's leadership on supporting our mission causes. And if I knew that I would die in a year, would I do more than I'm doing? We need to be very serious in how we handle the resources that God's given us. Why do I want more money? It's a good question to ask. This is a question about our motives. Do I want more to take care of my father or my family, or want a bigger house? Bigger, better stuff? Why do I want my income to grow? Am I more concerned about making money than I am about my eternal destiny? That's a question that Jesus raised in the parable of the man who wanted bigger and better barns. He was laying up treasure on earth, but not in heaven. What is the source of my security? Is it money or is it God? I wrote these little comments to the questions or to the statements. To the questions, they're all questions. Well, we all know the right answer. But what if all of our bank accounts were taken away from us? I'll be honest with you, it'd scare me to death. I think it would scare me. But it would mean that I would have to trust God completely. You know, we started with nothing. It's not that we have that much, but if we're wise, we'll understand that that's what God has given us to live on. How much do I mourn the loss of money or things? Does it bother you when you lose money? When was it, in 2008, when some of us lost half of our retirement? I didn't lose a night's sleep over that. Maybe I didn't realize it. I'd never seen it anyway. Somebody else had it. They were handling it. But the annuity board of the Southern Baptist Convention, Guidestone now. But how much does it bother us? Do I cling to my things, or am I generous and ready to share? Ask yourself this question. Would I get excited about taking advantage of a strategic opportunity to give to further the Lord's work as I would with a great investment opportunity? Where's my heart? Number 8, do I compromise godly character of priorities in the pursuit of making money? Am I willing to hurt my testimony as a believer in my pursuit of trying to gain wealth? Am I willing to discredit my relationship with Jesus, my relationship with my wife, with my husband, with my children, or with others, just to try to make more money? Number 9, am I prone to get rich schemes? Do I feel myself drawn to some easy, instant way of making a fortune? If so, do I need to deal with my greed? For the past 20 years, Miss Brenda and I lived just out of Shelby County and Fayette County, just out of the Memphis County. We never did live in Memphis, but we were in Collierville, which was becoming a pretty exclusive place to live. And across the county line was a lot cheaper tax. We moved over there, bought 4 acres of land and moved over there and couldn't see a light from where we lived. We were in the woods on a little lake, but that community began to grow. They began to develop exclusive housing developments out there. There was a little store up there. You have some of them here, a little gas station, and got more grocers in there than Carter's got Little Liver Pills. But they'd sell Powerball tickets, I guess. Never did buy one, but for the past 3 years, we served as an interim pastor to a church right in that area, 1 mile from our house. And I go to that little store and develop relationships and sit down over there and drink a cup of coffee and have time to meet men, and not women now, but men, and sit there and talk to them about their relationship with the Lord. But I would see folks that I would preach to that would come in there and buy those tickets. Now, I didn't get in their face, but I just... And then they started building the casinos down right across the state line in Mississippi over on the river. And I want to tell you, church members, I'm sure most of them were believers, but they felt it very easy, very comfortable in going and trying to make $1 million in one night. That is, maybe you struggle with that sin, but I don't. I call it a sin. Anything that's a get-rich scheme, God says be careful with it. But I've got good friends. He and his wife, our age, they would take off to the casinos on Saturday night, but they'd get back in time for Sunday school on Sunday. Now, they weren't in our church, but they were dear friends. But I just wonder if that's a part of the greed that God warns us about. Here's something else, too, we got to be careful with. And I listed it last because I want to get out of here in a hurry. Are you in bondage to credit cards? Or debt? Now, I know that debt sometimes is due to some unavoidable hardships. I know that. But I want to tell you, God tells us that we need to manage what He blesses us with. Most debt is due to overspending. And I'm not saying what I don't struggle with or don't struggle with, but I don't struggle with that. I could help you, along with Miss Brenda, make a list of my weaknesses, but that's not one of them. And that's something that we need to be careful with.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.